Welcome, everyone. This is session 5, Empowering Youth to Discern God's Call by Jen Berry.
Awesome. Hi, everybody. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Welcome. Is everyone having a fantastic day so far?
Yes.
I'm so glad to hear that. Well, my name is Jen Berry, as our little room attendant said. Just a little bit about me. My husband and I have been in youth ministry or Next Gen ministry for 18 years, so it's been a long time. This is the only thing we've ever done is worked in Next Gen. I'm the Next Gen pastor at my local church in Clay, New York, Trinity Assembly. So I oversee our preschool, nursery, kids, and youth ministry. And I also work at the network office. My husband is Jared Berry. If you've ever been to youth convention or teen camp, then you probably have heard that name before. And he's the Next Gen director for our network. And I work with him part-time as his admin, and I get to do all the fun policy and paperwork for teen camp and convention. So it's been a privilege and a joy to serve our state, to serve our students. I'm really excited about this topic this morning or this afternoon, empowering youth to discern God's call. And we're going to start off with having a little bit of an interactive moment here. So I'm going to do a raise of hands on a would you rather. And you show me, we're going to see where the room lands. Would you rather be called to something big but unclear? Or would you rather something small but certain? If you'd rather be called to something big but unclear, raise your hand. Big one, okay. Something small but certain, raise your hand. Okay. Would you rather hear God once super clearly or feel led over time? Those who would like to hear God once super clearly, show of hands. Led or feel led over time, show of hands. Okay. Would you rather step out and fail or would you rather stay safe and never try? Step out and fail, people? Stay safe and never try? Okay, those are some honest people. Those are some honest questions. But here's the reality. There was tension in the room. There was different perspectives in the room. This is exactly where our students are living. They're living in this tension of, would I rather do this? Would I rather do that? So this is exactly what our youth are experiencing. We just sort of demonstrated, and you saw there were people on both spectrums, this tension here. So this is where our students are living. They're not resistant to God's call. Rather, they are just unsure of how to recognize it. And you're here today to get practical steps of how we can help our students recognize God's call in their life. You know, if many of us are honest, many of us didn't have a clear framework either. How many of you, when you were 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, imagined that you would be sitting in this room at this time, given the responsibilities and the calling that you have in your life? Show of hands.
No.
Probably not, no. Right? When you go back to think to when you were 15, 16, 17, 18, you're like, I couldn't imagine that the Lord would be calling me to do this or to do that, right? So oftentimes, students are looking for the big picture, but really, as adults, we all know it's not really the big picture, it's really a framework. Okay. It's a framework of how we communicate to them that God's calling is a step and God's calling is a process. Oftentimes they are unsure. What is God asking of me? They're afraid to miss God. I mean, how many of you feel, I feel afraid to miss God sometimes. What if I choose the wrong thing? How many of you have heard students say like, I'm just worried, what if I choose the wrong thing? Or maybe they're waiting for clarity. What if I never hear enough? What if I never feel like I really understand and hear the voice of God? Any of you ever doubt like hearing the voice of God? I know I do sometimes.
I think it's not that we're not hearing, it's that we're not listening.
Yeah, absolutely. But I definitely will doubt myself. Sometimes I'm like, God, if this is you, like, I'm going to need the confirmation to come like very soon after this.
Yeah.
So I can feel confident in what you're saying to me, right? So students today are struggling with calling for a few reasons. They're struggling with calling because they think that calling equals career, which interestingly enough, the first session that Pastor David hit on, there's going to be some of that in here. Newsflash, we didn't work together. And I'm like, stop talking. You're taking away my whole discussion. But students often think that calling means career. They're also waiting for a lightning bolt moment. They're waiting for the mount moment. Or they're terrified of getting it wrong. I know I'm terrified of getting things wrong in my own life. And many just don't have anyone walking them through it. So these often are the problems that our youth are facing. Students don't lack desire, I have found. Oftentimes, they're just lacking a framework. Yeah. They feel something stirring in their heart. They go to convention. They go to teen camp. They're sitting in your services every week. You're seeing that God is working and moving in them. So they understand God's presence, but they don't have a clear framework of how do I get from here to here? when I'm afraid and I'm uncertain. So we're going to set up a biblical foundation, what I think are five biblical truths to helping students and empowering students to search out God's call. And we're going to ground it in scripture. Number one is identity comes before assignment. Identity comes before assignment. Before Moses led people, he met God. Before the disciples were sent, they followed Jesus. You see, God is always concerned more with who we are becoming than what we are doing. God is more concerned about the people that your students are becoming and their identity in him than he's ever going to care about things that they are doing. He's cared more about the heart. He's cared more about the heart. So we have to teach students that your calling starts with your identity in Christ. Your call. What I mean by identity is, and it's really a gospel-centered truth, that like my approval, my success, all of that is found in who Christ said who I am. It's not found in my success in my job. It's not found in my success as a mother or a father. My identity is found and hidden in Christ alone. And I can stand on that. So that's the number one thing. If we're teaching our students, this is what it means. This is your identity. This is who God made you to be. We're already on the right track. We're on the right track. We're helping our students discover that identity comes often before assignment. Community becomes before confidence. Community comes before confidence, or obedience comes before clarity. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham is told to go to a place and I will show you. That's not clarity, that's trust. That's not clarity, that's trust. God didn't give Abraham a map, he gave him a promise. He didn't give him a map and say, this is where it's all going to be. He just said, go to a place and I will show you. Obedience comes often before clarity. In Psalm 119, 105, it says that his word is a lamp unto our feet. So think of it this way. When we're talking about the word of God being a lamp unto our feet, it's not a spotlight to our future. It's showing us step by step by step by step. His word is a lamp unto our feet. God usually God operates with giving us maybe the next step, but not really giving us the full plan. And thirdly, I'm sorry, I think this one was, sorry, here was obedience before clarity. Sorry about that, wrong slide. This was God gives us a lamp, not a spotlight. Gives us the next step before the full plan. And thirdly, community before confidence. Community before confidence. Pastor David referenced Samuel today. Well, Samuel needed Eli to recognize God's voice. In the story of Samuel, it was he kept on hearing this voice and he kept on going back. And Samuel needed that community with Eli before he could hear and recognize God's voice. Paul needed Barnabas to step into his calling. In the book of Acts, we see that really it was Barnabas that really became along and really affirmed the work of Paul and Paul's ministry. They have a really interesting friendship, but we see that community came before confidence. Students don't discern calling alone, they discern it with us. So the communities that we're building, are we teaching our students what it means to have identity in Christ? Are we building places where our children and our students feel like they have a strong community? If you can say yes to those two things today, you can walk out of here going, all right, God, we're doing the thing. Maybe it's not perfect, but we're laying down a framework, so I hope your hearts also feel encouraged. If maybe you're looking at this and you're going, man, these are maybe some things, some practical things that we can start. I want to encourage you to sort of think through what that looks like for your teens and your youth ministries. I'm going to give you something really super practical today that I think you can walk away with. And I call these the four voices of discernment. This is how we help our students. Now we're broken into the framework, really. So we talked about identity. We talked about obedience. We talked about community. Now we're going to talk about what I call the four voices of discernment. When students are trying to figure out God's call, we help them listen to really what I think would be four voices. Number one is God's word. This is like super basic and simple. Even me preparing this, I was like, shouldn't people like, but my husband's like, no, just trust that like sometimes we need to be reminded, like, listen, if it doesn't align with the scripture, we can already say that this God's not going to call you outside the confines of the word of God. He's not. Our first voice of discernment is, does this align with God's word? God's not going to call someone outside of his word. Number two, eternal burden and desire. What stirs their hearts? What breaks them? What excites them? God often plants desire before direction. So this is all about knowing our students. This is having conversation with our student. This is living in community with one another, where we go, when I give the kid the mic, this mic soars. This kid soars. So you're going, maybe I need to give this student the mic more. Or when we do missions work, when we go to feed the homeless, like this kid's the first one there, and they get excited when they get to hand this person this bag of food or whatever it is. You're going, I see this in you. I see that you have an internal desire for the lost. You have students in your ministries that are burdened for missions. You have students that are burdened for drug addiction. You have students that are burdened for lost friends. These are the things that we want to pick up and say, what is their internal desire? What breaks them? What makes them? What drives them to their knees? God often plants desire before direction. So God's word, internal burden. Number three, wise counsel. What are trusted leaders seeing and affirming in them? What are the leaders in your youth group seeing and affirming? Are you seeing and affirming students in your ministries? So when you see a gift in your student, you're not hesitant to reach out and say, I see this potential in you. I see that you're really good at this. You may want to lean into this. This is all about training our youth workers who are working with our youth to say, guys, we need to be speaking and affirming life over our students consistently. When you see something really great, I think sometimes with youth ministry, sometimes the ones that are the hardest to love are the ones where we often find our own identity because we feel like we're failing. And I think the ones who may be succeeding and are you feel like they're better, oftentimes they even get maybe even less attention, even from our own hearts. And so I want to encourage you, don't just go to your knees for the students that are suffering in your ministry, and we all have them. Go to your knees for the ones that you feel like are really excelling and say, God, show me in them what maybe they don't even see yet. And give me the power and the strength and the wisdom to point the things out to them, God, that you see in them. Often others can see calling before students can even see it in themselves. That's me and that's you. We get the honor and the privilege to look into our students' eyes and see the calling, sometimes even before they see it. That was my story. I had leaders in my life and in my ministry. Actually, it was so funny. One of them is here from Freedom Chapel, Mrs. Arlene Harms. She was the dean of students at the private school that I worked at like 10 years ago downstate. And Arlene was, as the dean of students, part of her job was to bring discipline to staff. And so there were moments of gentle, respectful discipline that Mrs. Harms would say over me as a young teacher. And I saw her here today, and she's like, I can't believe you're still here. Like, it's still youth ministry, you know? And I said, but all of the successes in my life, I celebrate with you. Because when I was a young girl, 21 years old, just starting out in teaching, like, you took a chance on me. And when I needed correction, you gave it to me. When I needed to be guided, you held my hand, you loved me. So we all have people like that in our lives. So I want to encourage you to notice what you see in your students and don't be afraid to share that with them. And lastly, the fourth one is open doors or fruit. Where is God already moving? Where are they seeing impact? So look for those opportunities of where you see God moving in their life. Where are they seeing impact? Where is God doing things in your community, in your church? Those are all four discerning voices that you can use to help your students sort of give them a framework of how they discover and empower them to discover God's calling in their life. Okay, we're gonna do a turn and talk. We'll see how it goes, but I wanted a quick moment. If you could turn to someone near you, maybe we'll just take a minute. And there was really two questions. When did you first sense God's calling you to something? And which of the four voices were the strongest? The four voices are on your paper, by the way, if you need to refer to them on the notes. But if you could just turn and maybe we can chat, or maybe if we'd rather call out some stuff, we could do that. But when did you first sense God's calling to do something? When did you first sense God's calling? And which of the four voices were strongest?
Yeah, it's good, but it's not. I was the voices of the second, the last open doors where God already moved.
All right, we're gonna keep moving on here. I love all the conversations. I love that we're all thinking about this. Awesome. We're gonna keep moving here because I don't want to miss half my other stuff here. So when these four voices that we talked about, when they begin to align for our students, then naturally clarity increases for them. So where these four voices align, and we've all sort of identified maybe which ones were strongest for us, when we begin to sense the calling, you probably all did identify, like, oh, this was the thing that really propelled me to sort of discover and be more curious about what I was called to do. Your students are in that same place now. And when these voices come together, they begin to have more clarity for what the Lord has for their future. Slide 10, practical leadership tools. So here's how we actually help students accomplish this. These are some practical things that you can take away. This is on your handout as well. Number one is ask better questions. Ask better questions. Instead of asking, what do you want to be? Maybe the question is, where do you feel God using you right now? So instead of asking them, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Maybe the better question is, where do you feel God using you right now? And you can see just reframing that one simple question helps them to explore more about God's purpose for their life and God's purpose for what they're doing. Normalize uncertainty. Clarity doesn't come from waiting, it comes from movement. We don't usually know the full picture, as we mentioned, and we mentioned earlier, when we were all 15 and 18 years old, we had no idea that we would be sitting in this spot, in these leadership roles, in these moments of leadership. Our students are there too. So normalize uncertainty. Make faithfulness bigger than fear. Make their faithfulness to the mission bigger than their fear. Number three, create safe opportunities. This is a big one for all of my leaders in here who are perfectionists. I have a darling youth pastor who I work with, who I adore, but she also happens to be a crazed perfectionist, which is great for our church because everything she does is done so excellently. But I think one of the struggles we can have as someone who functions that way at times is when kids get interjected into the mission, it's messy. And when you want to see things perfect, which isn't a bad thing, it's actually a great thing because we love to do things with excellence. But when our students start coming into the picture, it gets a little messy. The announcements are not as tighter. The worship maybe is the couple notes ain't hitting there for some. You know what? You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It gets a little more messy. I want to encourage you. Let them try. Let them lead. Let them fail.
Yes.
Let them try, let them lead, let them fail. Our ministry should be a safe place for students to try things and a safe place for them to fail and a safe place for you to disciple them through the failure. That's what we're there for. We are there to support them. This ministry that you and I get to run and we get to lead, hold it loosely. It belongs to Jesus and it belongs to our students. We are here to steward the mission for our students. So please, if there's one takeaway, let them try, let them lead, and let them fail under your care. And four, speak identity over them. We already talked about identity in Christ. Before they ever discover what they're called to do, they need to know who they are. They need to know who they are. So be more concerned about, are we teaching the right things to remind our students that their identity, their value, their worth, their approval is found in Christ alone and in the work of the cross. It's not found in what we do or we accomplish. It is solely found in Jesus. Remind your students of that. So what are you seeing in your students? Let's make this real for a minute. What are you guys seeing in your students? Anything from, you have students that are feeling like a sense of call. What do you guys feel like you're seeing in your youth ministries or ministries in general? Yes.
I'm seeing a lot of like creative technical
stuff. Love that.
That I think is... it's an opportunity for them to reach more people, more youth in their demographic, in their schools, in their, you know, their areas of interest, because there's so much more tech savvy and creative than I am, or than, you know, most
love
of
it.
The staff. So,
and that's such a, I feel like that could be such an un known place where God can really use students.
And it gives
love
them a
that.
Sense of like encouragement that they have the ability to do something with their faith that others' leadership even can't really do.
Yeah.
So it gives them kind of an ownership of that, which is really cool.
Love that. Anyone else, what you're seeing in your students?
I feel like overall for our students, there's a lot of difficulty with I want to be normal like my friends, but I'm hearing God's voice, and I know what God is telling me, and I don't know if they are, they're definitely not comfortable, and I don't know necessarily how to navigate the, it's okay to be not like them,
you know,
their flesh is rising up, they want to be seen, they want to be heard, they want to have boyfriends and girlfriends, but the Lord is saying, sanctify yourself. How do you do that
do
at
that?
14, 15, and 16?
Right.
It's so hard.
Yes.
We all were there, right? We were there. We remember that tension. Like, that's so hard.
Yes.
Yes.
A lot of our youth, a large percentage, are all serving in the church, whether in media, children's ministry, cafe.
Praise God. Love it.
They all are serving and really on fire for the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, there's all struggles, of course. But they really have a heart, and we're seeing a move of God really powerful in youth ministry.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they're really getting on fire for the Lord.
Yeah, love that.
That's so good. Just like even here at Mission Church, we are youth involved in the worship team. And when I see these young, it's just amazing. Just looking at them singing in the words and just, they're like, you know, and praying. Like, it's just really beautiful.
Isn't it an honor that we get to do this? I pinch myself, like, when I'm standing in moments where I see teenagers, like, radically discover Jesus Christ, I'm like, I can't believe that, like, God chose any of us in this room to be a part of the journey for young people. Because we were all there once.
Yeah.
How many of us are like, man, I want to be the person that I needed when I was a teenage girl. I want to be that for the girls in my youth group and in my ministry. And I'm sure the men are like, the men in here probably like, I want to be like the man that like I needed when I was a young man, right? And like, what an honor that you and I get to do this. I consider it such a joy. We're hearing things, also there are things like a student feels called, but maybe they're not ready. But a calling doesn't mean immediate assignment. It means preparation. What if they don't hear God at all? Start with scripture. Start with community. Small steps. God always meets movement. Yes.
I have a student who just you know, expressing her, so which what tends to happen, she jumps into everything and accomplishes nothing.
I see.
Don't hold those other calls that you thought you had. Just choose this one.
So I'll say my immediate thought is, God, I wish I had more youth that wanted to jump into everything than not, right?
Yeah.
So I get your love, but how do you shepherd that? How do you shepherd that? I hear what you're saying, for sure.
You know.
I think my best thought through, like, immediate answer would be, try to see, maybe between you and your leaders, what are some definable gifts that you see in this young girl? What is it that you see? Like, when she does this, she really sparkles. When she does this, it's like a natural thing. It's an easy thing. If it's everything, then I would say keep praying and ask the Lord to give you wisdom. But there probably are likely areas where you're like, maybe it's with kids, maybe it's with missions, maybe it's with the homeless. Like, maybe there's something, worship, maybe she has a fan. Or maybe it's like, girl, you don't sing that great. You know, like, don't say it like that. But I'm just saying, like, there's probably areas where you feel really great strength, and maybe areas where, like, maybe this isn't a huge strength of yours. So I would shepherd her that way for sure. But also excited that you have someone so excited and passionate about ministry. That's amazing. Yes.
Do you mind if I kind of...
No, please.
I just recently experienced this, actually. And something that I felt was really supportive to this young man was, I said, you know, we all have callings and giftings, and by wanting to do everything, we might be taking away from another student who is gifted in this area.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
I
love that.
I asked him to come in conversation with me, in prayer with me, about who he thinks might be somebody
that
could step into this, even though he wanted to do it, was already on other things. And it really was like, it opened his eyes to, I don't have to do everything. I can still allow, like, my servanthood to be glorifying God while giving something to somebody else.
Amen.
And it, you know, it was kind of
I
cool
love
dynamic.
That.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that.
Oh,
that
I
was
didn't
a really
tickle.
No,
well.
That's
I
a
just had this
no, that's a great listen. We're better together.
Amen.
There's no
yeah.
egos in this room. Like, we're better together. We're on the, all different churches, all different areas of New York, same mission. We're making disciples.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for adding. If, please, if you have anything else to add that you think could benefit, raise that hand. I would like to hear your perspectives as well. So anyone else have any other things to say about that discussion or things that you're seeing in your youth ministry? Yes, please.
About our youth ministry, I think that it, with our youth, there are some that we're seeing like an internal burden. They're getting really like revved up and passionate about things in their communities, in the world around them. I think that there are some youth that the Spirit is sort of assigning their giftings, but what I notice is that they're shy
yeah.
in groups, and I don't know if some of that is like peer pressure, just you know, an identity issue, not wanting to kind of
yeah,
step out and not have or not having the courage yet, or like praying for courage and asking
yeah.
God to kind of equip them in those areas. But
yeah.
what I'll say is that wait, I had it and then I forgot it. Sorry.
Okay.
It's just that I think that we are. Our church is like, we do urban ministry, and I just think one of the biggest issues for us that we face, a challenge, is that, you know, the framework is the issue, and the guidance, like the guidance portion of that, like kids, you know, there's a lot of single parent homes,
yeah.
there's a lot of kids that come from broken families, and so what we're trying to do is plant seeds,
yeah.
but it just sometimes feels like it's not enough,
yeah.
And that you wish and you pray that there could be something else for them, and
yeah.
There's only so much time in the day, and you know, you
yeah.
see these call, like the call for these kids, and you see what God is doing, what you know could happen. But
yeah.
I don't know, it just feels like something's not connecting, something's missing, and
yeah.
so I think that guidance is a really big barrier for us, for our kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. Yes.
I just wanted to say for the student who you know felt like they wanted to do everything, two things popped in my head. It was there's two gifts: exhortation, which is the gift of you know empowering and motivating somebody else to do something, and then also the gift of like administration too. Like you're excited about the things of the church and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
If they have that natural motivation, just like what you were saying,
yeah.
like, I think that's a good thing rather than you know
yeah.
being like I don't want to do anything. I don't know where I'm called.
Yeah.
So. I would just say, like, if somebody's interested in everything in the church, like, to help them realize that Jesus was passionate about empowering people. So help them, like, you know, say, I think that's great, and I love that you want to do everything, but help, you know, maybe, like, help other people find their calling, too, or help people
yeah.
be more passionate to find what they want.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. We are getting ready to close now, and I want to leave you with a couple things. Your students don't need perfect clarity. They just need faithful next steps. So this is obviously not an exhaustive picture of, you know, you're not going to be able to take these handouts, and it's an exhaustive picture of everything you can do, but it's a step. It's a step to say, how do we bring our ministry into an alignment? How do we get these four voices out there? How do I help my, how do I have this framework? So it's really just a skeleton for you to then fit into your ministry where you see that it works. Many, many times, you are the voice that God uses to help them hear his. You are the voice. What an incredible honor and privilege that we have to serve students, that God would choose us to help our students to be the one. We would be the vessels that they would be able to hear God's voice with. There's some resources here. I have three books here. Show Them Jesus, Teaching the Gospel to Kids. Really great book. My team just read this. Really practical way of making the entire picture and story of the Bible all about Jesus. Jesus is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. This book does a great job kind of showing the whole picture. The Master Plan of Evangelism is also a really short read, fantastic book. And then Called by John Zick. And John Zick is one of our national director, actually, for the Called Initiative for students. That's his book. Another recommend for you. I created two other resources, just like something to hand to you that could also just be like, I'm calling them skeletons because you want them to sort of be how they look like for you. But the first thing is called the Leader Follow-Up Resource. And this is like how to use this resource, one-on-one mentoring, small groups, leadership development. It's actually a 4-week plan, and it goes over the four things that we talked about: identity, awareness, affirmation, and action. So a little bit different wording, but it's the same spots we hit on. It comes with questions, scripture verses, just like a 4-week framework for you to like, how do I get this started? How do I launch this? And then a couple of coaching phrases. for leaders as you're talking to your students, things that you can do to develop your leaders and disciple the leaders in your ministry. And then I have just a discernment tool. This is really for your students, and feel free to change this however you want. These were the four voices that we talked about: God's word, question, prompt questions, internal desire, wise counsel, and then common pitfalls to switch out for. If any of these are something that, I mean, you can easily create these on your own, but you can certainly send me an email and I'll be happy to send you the digital copies so that you don't have to do the hard work of just editing. So we're getting ready to close. I would like to pray for you. Thank you so much for being here. Most importantly, thank you for serving our New York students. You are the heroes. You were on the front line. It's an honor to be in the position that my husband and I are in, doing anything that we can to serve you and resource you. But you are the ones really in the trenches doing the work. On behalf of myself and our network, thank you. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for all of these leaders in this room. God, what an honor and a privilege it is that you would choose any of us with such a sacred calling to lead this next generation. And when I see the next generation, I don't feel fear, I feel hope. I feel hope that you're raising up a generation of leaders and people who will love you intimately, who will know you and feel secure in you, Father. So equip us to do this work. And I pray for anyone in the room who may feel discouraged, God, that you would encourage their heart, encourage their minds, give us the vision, give us the passion, give us the things we need so that we can do our job with excellence. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, everybody. Nice to meet you all. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thanks.
You too. Do you have something? Your email?
Email, yeah.